anatomy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Woke up to CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB.
Now this story starts back in 2019. And back in 2019, I followed this story very closely. And it's not because it's a murder or it's a salacious story. It was actually, the interesting part to me was how the internet reacted to this heinous event. So the basic story is that back in 2019, this girl attempts to kill her boyfriend. She gets sentenced to attempted murder and she goes to prison. The internet reacted unusually because she was attractive. And that was the main reason. You have someone who's committed a horrible act and is getting treated very differently from other people because they're attractive. The reason this has sparked interest in me again is because just recently she was released from prison. And on Tokyo Reporter, they released a transcript of the trial, some of the questions and answers from 2019, which is sort of an insight into Japanese courts that we don't normally get. So I want to go over a bit of the history of the story, then we'll read the transcript. And just remember, the whole time, Japanese men on the internet are white knighting this girl so hard. They're saying that she's innocent, she shouldn't be punished because she's too beautiful. If she had been with me, this wouldn't have happened. That was always the part that was rolling around in the back of my head, is that this woman attempted to kill another human being and they were willing to let it go because she was cute. And I think what made it, one of the things that made it worse, was the media was calling her a real life yandere. So that is the character in anime who doesn't show outward expressions of emotion. She gets very jealous on the inside. She loves very passionately. In some anime, they would make it that she would kill for the person she loves. So they've made it already like she's a character in anime appealing to these anime nerds, these guys who way, way overreacted. And again, these people who started making fan art and started doing stuff on the internet to say, she's amazing, she's wonderful, she shouldn't be punished because she's beautiful. And she was just doing this wonderful thing. She was killing because of her jealousy, but her jealousy was an indication of how strongly she loves. And if she loved me, then this would never have happened. But let's get back into reality. Characterizing someone as an anime character would certainly increase your interaction rate on the internet, which is what these people really want. But it also puts up this strange sort of relationship, the meta relationship the internet creates, where these people are like truly going forward and attempting to defend her. They set up like a GoFundMe style thing to try to get her money for her defense. They were trying to get her not punished for attempted murder. And the media didn't help by creating this atmosphere around her of this character. And she had an Instagram, and that of course got blown up because everyone wanted to see more pictures of the pretty girl. And in that, she did cosplay of yandere characters, and they're like, well, this is just her showing who she really is on the inside. So I think really the thing I was interested in was all the bits of the story, of course, because we're all interested in these sort of like real crime stories. But then there was also the secondary aspect of this crime and the person who committed it were being fetishized the whole time. And the internet audience was eating it up. So you have Yuka Takaoka. She was working in a bar, a girl's bar. She became a manager, so she was obviously quite good at it. Girls' bars, basically guys come in, they pay money, they pick a girl, the girl will sit with them, they'll talk. That's the base standard. I mean, it implies a certain level of sexuality. There's all these other like other aspects to the relationship of a hostess club where, you know, you'll go out on dates. The dates are non-sexual, but the man is expected to give presents and pay money and buy expensive things. One of the scams, I don't know if it's a scam because the people are going for it, they kind of know what happens as well, is that on my birthday, let's say, I would go to the five men who love me the most, who come to, are my most regular customers, and I tell them, I want this very specific watch, or I want this very specific bag. And I get five of those, and then I can return four and then keep the one and say, oh, look at this bag you gave me. I love it so much. But then I also got the cash money for the other four bags. So this is the kind of relationship that is created within the hostess club atmosphere. This is also what happens on the host side, which is men basically manipulating women into giving them money for the exact same thing, this sort of fake meta love relationship, which is what her boyfriend did. Her boyfriend's name was Phoenix Luna. That can't be his real name, but it's actually a pretty good name. You know, I'm going to name an anime character, I might name him Phoenix Luna now. Both the man and the woman in this relationship had this job where they created relationships with other people in order to extrapolate money from them. They moved in together. Now, she was looking, this is the version of the story. She was looking at Luna's phone while he was in the shower, and she found pictures of him with other women at the bar. Now, remember, that's his job, to go to the bar, talk to women, sit with them. They take selfies, whatever. They try to put on this great atmosphere. They just do this all the time because that's his job. His job is to make these women actually fall in love with him so they will come back more, spend more money, give him more money. That's how he makes money. She does the same thing. Maybe it's at a manager level. She doesn't do it so directly anymore, but she teaches the other girls how to do it. She tries to develop these relationships so that the bar makes more money so she can make more money. Like, this is not something that should be a surprise to her. But she immediately connected, if she's taking pictures with these women, then he must be sleeping with these women. And she got insanely jealous. This is another part of the Yandere character attributes that everyone was playing into, thinking this was so great that she was fulfilling this fantasy character so much. So in Takaoko's mind, this meant that he was having sex with them. So she waited until 3:50 in the morning so that he would be dead asleep. She got a knife from the kitchen and she stabbed him in the stomach. He woke up and he struggled, and he managed to get to the elevator before he collapsed. She, for some reason, brought him down to the lobby. So she must have actually pulled him out of the elevator as well. There's a bit in there that's sort of unknown, but basically it was discovered. He was laying on the floor, bleeding out. She's sitting on the floor, smoking a cigarette and talking on her cell phone in sort of pajamas and like slippers. Her legs and her arms are covered in blood. There's blood all over the lobby floor. She wasn't calling the police. She wasn't trying to save his life. She was just sitting there talking on the phone. I don't actually remember if it was revealed who she was talking to. A passerby came and saw all the blood and called the police. So that is how this was discovered in the first place. The photos in the lobby are what made her famous. Now, the most famous picture is her sitting on the lobby floor on the phone. She's wearing sort of a black shirt and not much else, some slippers. And so, of course, the fetishization of this person began immediately there, because she has her legs out and she's covered in blood and it's exciting and sexy and dangerous. And that's the bit that everyone wants to see. And she's just ignoring the police at this point. So she's sitting there talking on her phone, ignoring the police officers who are there. The shocking bit to me was the boyfriend is sitting in the background. He's just bleeding out. Like, he's going to die if someone doesn't take some emergency action. The police don't seem to be making any moves to actually make that happen. I don't actually know what the proper procedure is there. I assume separate the two and immediately start performing first aid on the man and arrest the woman, since she seems to not be injured. We don't know what happened at this point if you're the police. You don't know if he attacked her and she fought back. You don't know if she attacked him. So separate them and start giving the person who's injured some first aid. But that's the picture that set off the internet. It set off the story. It set off this, because she's an attractive woman, all these sort of white knight guys coming in, crowdfunding her defense to try to get her off this. Very clearly, she's guilty of attempted murder. Her statement was, "I intended to die after watching him die from stabbing." Basically, her statement was, once he died on the floor. So this is where my actual question comes in. Why did she take him to the lobby? If she was just waiting for him to bleed out and die, once he died, she was going to kill herself. There didn't seem to be any reason to take him to the lobby, and it seemed weird that she started calling someone on the phone. That is all information that is lost to history at this point. Then the article started coming out, and they started calling her the too beautiful criminal, because she's cute. And by Japanese standards, she hits sort of ticks every box. She's cute and sexy, and that's sort of this whole atmosphere of attractiveness. And then they add on this other layer, this yandere sort of anime thing they've thrown into it. And again, the media threw this into it right away. They leaned into this hard, setting off this whole crazy fetishization of this person. So this was published on Tokyo Reporter, and C. McBee is a podcast, so of course I'm going to read it to you, but if you're on the YouTube channel, you can read along with it. What follows is a transcription of some of the questions by her lawyers. In it, readers learn the details of the incident, how it happened, how it ended, and her later regret, reports News Post 7. This is back from December 9, 2019. Let's go back to the time of the incident. After Runa arrived at around 3 p.m. on May 23rd, we put up the curtains together, talked, and had sex. What did you talk about? Apparently, he had made a reservation at a hair salon that night, and his boss had asked him why he was meeting with me outside the bar. Now, this is one of the things about being a host or hostess. If you meet outside the bar and you start dating or forming an actual relationship, that will actually take money away from the bar. So they want you to keep the customers coming into the bar as often as possible. So having these relationships outside can actually be very dangerous for the bar. Maybe you form a real enough relationship that you stop working at the bar, and then he loses two streams of income because you're not there to attract more people, but then also the people aren't coming in to give them money. Why would your boss say something to you if you met Takaoka outside the bar? Because if I meet him outside the bar, I would stop coming to his bar. Well, that's actually what I just said. After that, he fell asleep, so I went to the kitchen, and my desire to kill him and die remained the same. So I grabbed a knife from the kitchen and went to him. So again, she saw pictures on his phone of him doing his job, sitting in the bar, talking to other women, taking selfies, and she immediately extrapolated that they must be having sex as well. So he was cheating on her. What was that knife? On the morning of May 23rd, I bought it at Don Quixote in Okubo. After work for household purposes, I had no intention of killing him. I just bought it for household purposes. How did you hold the knife? This is, again, the bits that for me as an outsider are very interesting, because I don't know what kind of questions they ask in a Japanese court. I don't know what is important, what is not important when they're talking about an attempted murder, because this is all new to me. I held the knife in both hands and stabbed him in the stomach as he was sleeping. What was he wearing? He was wearing a pair of pants. Where were you positioned? I was standing in the middle of Runa's torso on his left side. How did you hold the knife? So he's asking it again. I held it with both hands. What direction was the blade facing? I don't remember. I stabbed Runa in the stomach. What angle was the blade at? It was a right angle to him. How many times did you stab him? Once. So this is trying to make sure that all the details are accurate. So there is some perhaps suspicion that maybe she's just saying this, maybe she's covering up for someone else. So she has to get all the details right to actually prove that she was the one who actually tried to kill the guy, even though she's admitted to it very directly and very obviously. After you stabbed him, he tried to get up. So I got on top of him to stop him from getting up. And he tried to let me go by choking me. So he tried to get her off of him by choking her. What kind of conversation did you have with Runa? He said, okay, I love you, so let's stay together forever. So I said, I love you, so let's die together. He put the knife under the bed and said, I won't tell the police, but I'll call an ambulance. So I took his mobile phone. So he's now in a strange negotiation phase where he's been stabbed. He's trying to get away from her so he can get to the hospital. He's saying, I won't hold this against you. I won't call the cops. We'll just say it was an accident, something like that. She doesn't believe him. She just wants them both to die. Why did you put the knife there? When I stabbed him in the stomach and saw the pain on his face, I felt really regretful. And by that point, I think I had no longer any intention of killing him. So this is in the moment when it's real. She suddenly thinks this was a bad idea. I regret it. This must actually happen so much. What happened after you took the mobile phone away? He got up and went to the front door. So I chased after him, telling him not to go. He hit me, punching and kicking with his arms, legs, and face. That's when my contacts came out, so I went to get my glasses. I also took my cigarettes and cell phone and chased after him. That is a strange detail, but again, very realistic, because I bet every time she leaves the house, she grabs her cigarettes and cell phone. That's just a natural thing. I always just reach for and grab my keys to the house before I walk out the door. And I bet even in an emergency situation, I would instinctively just do the same thing. So I think that's probably why this panic, this stress, she just did what she always does, grab her cigarettes and cell phone. The lawyer asked the same question though. Why the cigarettes? I don't know, but I found myself holding a cigarette. I found Runa lying at the entrance. I was so regretful that I called the police. Now that may not be true. This is her testimony from 2019. It's actually said that she isn't the one who called the cops, that it was a passerby who called the cops. Now, I'm getting all my information from the internet. It's all secondhand. I have no idea what is actually accurate. Why did you call the police yourself? When I saw Runa's blood and how he looked in pain, I really regretted it and realized that I had done something terrible. I didn't want him to die, and I was so scared of him dying that I called the police. You told the police something different. You said to them, and then it's a quote, I heard a woman scream when I was going down the emergency stairs, so I knew I couldn't die with him. I was really panicked at the time, and I said yes to what the police and prosecutor said, but what I really regret most is having stabbed him. So she's saying in the moment, she called the police, she just started saying whatever she felt she needed to say in the moment. I think that's a very realistic answer, to be honest. Please tell us about when you called the police. They first asked me if it was a crime or an accident, and I answered crime. It seemed like they thought it was a prank, so I told them the same thing over and over again. This is an interesting reaction, because I think in other countries, if you say I just stabbed someone, it's never going to be taken as a prank. But Japan being such a generally safe country, the police probably are like, we want to make sure this is a real crime before we take our time on it. What happened? I told them my name, Runa's name, that I had stabbed him, that I was at the entrance, and that we needed an ambulance. I explained what I had done and made sure everyone asked me. Why did you stab him? I liked him and I wanted to be with him. I'm sorry. I did something selfish. When did you start to think this? Around June. I thought so after hearing about Runa's situation from my lawyer and hearing about my mother and father's situation. So Runa was in a coma for 5 days. And it took him 5 days to wake up. He'd been stabbed. He'd actually pierced his liver. And so he wasn't able to eat. He was actually having a lot of trouble. So there's a lot of rehabilitation. At this time, he was probably still just starting his rehabilitation. It was a very tough recovery. He did do a full recovery, though. What was Runa's situation? The scars were deep, reaching all the way to his liver, and he had been in a coma for 5 days without waking up. What about your parents? When they came to visit, they were very thin. Their hair was turning gray. They were crying. And with so many media outlets at our house, they were almost neurotic. So again, this was a massive news story. Everyone wanted as much information as possible. They were trying to make this as grandiose as they could because this pretty woman with this yandere atmosphere, we want to create the story of the century. So they were just all over everybody in the story. The parents, of course, are going to be hounded by the media. Is that both your father or mother? Both my father and mother. As time went on, I became more and more scared that I had done something so horrible, and I felt so sorry, so scared, and so sorry that I had nearly taken someone's life. I also caused trouble for my parents. What about Runa? I wrote a letter of apology to Runa in June. I said I was truly sorry that I would no longer be involved with him and mentioned compensation and had it delivered through my lawyer. And what about while you were in custody? I was thinking about Runa and my parents, making sure they were eating properly, getting enough sleep. My mother came over at least 3 times a week, but my father was busy with work, so he came about 2x a week. What did we talk about? We talked about a lot of things, like the incident, the procedures for moving out of the house, and our cat. What about Runa? I heard they settled for 5 million yen. 5 million yen is not very much money. Like, it would be the average salary for a year in Japan is 4 to 5 million yen. So it's the upper end of a very average salary in Japan. I heard that they had submitted a petition. What about the 5 million yen settlement money? My mother prepared it for me. This is interesting because I've actually read the story. I reviewed some of the details. After Phoenix had made his recovery, he actually came out with a statement saying he didn't have a grudge against her. He didn't hold anything against her. He wasn't necessarily saying he was going to get back together with her, but he was saying, I'm not holding a grudge. I'm not angry at her for what she did. What kind of exchange did you have with your mother? She told me, I prepared it for your future. Your desire to return the money is enough for me. You don't have to pay me back. What did you think? I want to work and save 5 million yen, earn more money, pay it back, and make my mom and dad's lives easier. How did you spend your time while out on bail? I took a training course called Initial Training for Care Workers. I want to be useful to someone in the future. I took it because I wanted to be like my mother. My mother is a certified care worker. She's a great person, and I want to be just like her. Is that a qualification? It's a qualification equivalent to a second-class helper and allows you to work in homes and the like. How often did you go? About 3 days a week, for about 6 hours each time. The lectures were really fun. I learned a lot of new things, and it was very educational. I want to take practical training and study to become a certified care worker in the future. Did you get the qualification? Yes. I heard that you need practical experience, so what will you do about finding a job? I would like to find a job through Hello Work and start working. Hello Work is sort of a very normal job search place. I don't know if it's from the government, but it's a search. It helps you find jobs in Japan. When you enter society, you will probably find people who know about the incident. How do you plan to respond to them? I haven't thought about how to respond in any particular way. It's a crime that I committed. Should I just let it go? Rather than just letting go, I think about it deeply and make efforts to atone for my crime. Can you endure? I will endure. There's a little bit more. Listening to your mother's story, it really broke my heart, seeing my mother crying so much. I didn't know how to apologize, even though this crime couldn't possibly be the fault of a parent. So no matter how much it was painful for me, I decided to stay with her so that I could make her life easier. And what about Runa? No matter how much I apologize, I can never apologize enough. It's a crime I can't atone for, even if I spend my entire life doing it. I don't think I'll be forgiven, even if I apologize. It may seem strange and weird for me to say this, but I'm really glad that I'm alive. I'm truly sorry. I am doing a very Canadian sorry now. Didn't realize that. Now that I'm actually listening to myself speak, I realize just how Canadian I am. So she got 3.5 years in prison. And she just got out recently. She's still active on Instagram, X, and YouTube. What does she do on Instagram and YouTube? Well, her YouTube, the most recent one, she has 10,000 subscribers, by the way. The most recent one is her doing a variety of different cosplays. So it starts out with her with not much makeup on and how to put the makeup on. And then it's applying more makeup and then some wigs and stuff. And this is 2 hours long. So I don't know if she's going to be making enough money off this, but again, the people who are watching this, it's a question of, are they interested in her as a cosplayer, as a beauty influencer, or are they interested in her because of his dark criminal background that makes her attractive in a different and unique way? She's not doing care work. So what she was saying in the transcript we just read, it's not that she was lying. It's just she didn't follow through on what she said. I think in that thing, she's trying to say, like, look, I want to be a better person. I want to help society. That's not necessarily a bad thing that she didn't do it. I think, again, I have a negative view of influencer, which is ironic because I make podcasts and YouTube videos and stuff. It's interesting that the guy has no grudge. Or he says he doesn't. I'm sure he hasn't met her again since. So I guess it's easy to say you're not holding a grudge if you just never plan on seeing someone again. Just how I live most of my life. So for me, the salaciousness of the murder wasn't enough to get me interested. I read about murder all the time because I read about the news all the time. And there's a lot of like real life crime in the news all the time. I think it was the immediate fetishization of her as a character, not even as a real person, as a character. But the fact that she was a hostess played into it. The fact that her boyfriend was a host played into it. The fact that all these people on the internet inserted themselves into that relationship. So many of the guys on the internet saying that, you know, if it was me, this wouldn't have happened. And I'm wondering, now that she's built sort of her influencer sphere, she's on Instagram, she's on YouTube, are the people there holding out that small hope that they could be the one that's actually with her in the future, and that her yandere love, that strength of love that they actually in a weird way admire and want, because you want that sort of level of passion directed towards you, that they would return it and then they would end up having the perfect relationship with her. It's interesting to see where she will go from here, because in Japan, they have a weird relationship with fame. So she's now gotten famous and she can probably hold on to that fame for a long time. There's a story. I don't want to go into the whole thing. I actually think I may have done this story on an old VelociPodcast episode. But there was a guy, a Japanese guy, and he was in France and he killed and ate a woman. And because of the rules, he wasn't a French citizen. They were like, okay, we'll send him back to Japan and they will punish him. And then he was sent back to Japan. He was extradited. And then when he ended up in Japan, they're like, well, he didn't actually commit a crime in Japan. So the Japanese didn't persecute him. So he ended up basically just getting away with it. And then based on his reputation as a cannibal, started doing restaurant reviews and became a really famous restaurant reviewer in Japan based purely off a crime that he had committed in France. One of the most heinous crimes you could actually ever think of, killing and eating another human being. So there's this weird disconnect almost with the fantasy and the reality in Japan. And you see this in a lot of different aspects, but I think in these situations, it shows so clearly and so really that people don't have a connection between what's really happening and what they're seeing sort of in media, because they're living the dream. They want the dream to happen. They think this could be real. But the reality is, this is a convicted attempted murderer, or God, that's a terrible sense. Convicted murderer is way easier to say. All these guys on the internet living out a fantasy that isn't real, because the character they gave her in the media isn't her real character. And she may play into it now because that's how she's going to capitalize on that fame. But that's just as fake as the love she may have shown people while she was working in a hostess bar, while her boyfriend was working in a host bar, while they were getting money from other people, pretending that they actually were into them. It's a skill. It's a skill I don't have. You can tell by this ending right here.
Enter the mind of the academy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah.